Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries. I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment evangelistic program dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Today's title is called From JWs to Jesus. I have a real live ex-Jehovah's Witness named Tom McGovern here in the studio with me. Tom was a Jehovah's Witness for 30 years, and he's here to give us an insider's view into their doctrine and what it's really like to be a Jehovah's Witness. Tom lives in northern New Jersey and is currently teaching Christians about the dangers of cults through Dispel the Darkness Ministries. He's currently working on a series of Bible studies based on Jehovah's Witness teachings with the goal of equipping believers to understand and defend the Christian faith. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you, Fran. It's good to be here.
Tom, I know you were a Jehovah's Witness for 30 years. When was this exactly?
Well, I started studying with Jehovah's Witnesses, what they call a Bible study. That's really a study in their publications. But I did that at the age of 14 in 1966. And I was finally baptized as a witness in 1969 when I was 17. I did the witness thing, attended meetings. I served as a regular pioneer and as a ministerial servant, which is sort of like a deacon in a church. For the best part of 30 years, I finally stopped attending regularly in 1995, and then in the year 2000, my marriage broke up over mainly the fact that I wasn't what they call a theocratic enough witness. I wasn't a very good witness, so my ex-wife left me over that, and that's basically when I made the final break and stopped attending meetings at all.
Okay. How did you become a Jehovah's Witness? What happened in your life to involve you with this group?
Well, I was raised in a house pretty much where there was no religious practice. We had Bibles in the house, and I was told that the Bible was a good book, and it was true. It was God's book. And I was taught that if I was a good boy, I'd go to heaven. If I was a bad boy, I'd go to hell, things like that. But I really didn't know who Jesus was, and there wasn't any formal religious training. I think by the time I was 12, I had probably been into church two or three times in my whole life.
Okay.
But I did get interested in supernatural things, if you want to call it that, by reading a popular book in the early 60s about Gene Dixon, who had supposedly predicted the assassination of President Kennedy. And that got me kind of interested in maybe there was something out there beyond the material. I ended up studying for a while with the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And in some of their materials, they had a fairly good gospel presentation about accepting Christ as your Savior, believing on Him for the forgiveness of your sins. And I did accept Him at about the age of 13. But I had very little knowledge, and I really was not a good student in those days. I was not very diligent in the Word. And as a result, when Jehovah's Witnesses came along, they offered certainty and understanding, at least to the extent that they have it.
I bet they did.
And I swallowed it whole. Hmm.
Some people out there, you know, they call Jehovah's Witnesses a cult. Other people think they're just kind of another brand of Christianity, maybe another denomination with a few weird beliefs and practices. How would you respond to somebody like that?
Well, it depends on your definition of the word cult. That's really kind of a tricky term, and a lot of people are getting away from using that word nowadays. But usually as Christians, we think of a cult as being theological in nature, that it's a group that deviates from Orthodox Christian teaching in some way, usually in some major way, one of the major aspects of the gospel. And then there's kind of a sociological definition of cult, too, although sociologists tend not to use the word. But what that really means is that it's a high-control group. It's a group that exercises a great deal of influence in the person's life and really takes control of their life. And I'd have to say that under both of those definitions, Jehovah's Witnesses qualify.
Okay. You know, some people think, just for the record, because some people think, you know, apologetic shows like this, you know, we're against Jehovah's Witnesses or we're against Mormons, we're against everything, some people think. No, for the record, are you against Jehovah's Witnesses?
No, not at all. Not the individual Jehovah's Witnesses, at least. There are some very wonderful people in that group. I had some very dear friends who now no longer associate with me because I'm not part of that group anymore. But I do believe that those people have been misled by the leadership of their organization, and they've been turned aside into false doctrine. I am opposed to what their organization does, to the things it teaches, and to the way that it exploits people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jehovah's Witnesses say they're the only ones preaching the good news of God's kingdom. Tell the audience, what is this good news all about, and is it the same good news that Christians preach?
Well, they say that they're all about preaching the good news, but the Bible's good news is really summarized for us by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says that we can be saved by believing that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, if you've ever had a Jehovah's Witness call at your door, you probably know that isn't what they told you. You won't hear anything about that. What you'll hear about is Jesus being invisibly present since 1914. You'll hear about the Battle of Armageddon that's soon going to come and remove all wickedness from the earth. And they probably won't mention to you that the wicked that they're talking about include you, include everyone who's not a good, active Jehovah's Witness. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 that anyone, even if it was an angel from heaven, preached a different good news or a different gospel than what he had preached, then that one should be accursed. And I just can't find anywhere in the Bible where Paul preached an invisible presence of Christ occurring in 1914. The elements of the gospel that Paul emphasized are really missing from the message that you hear from Jehovah's Witnesses.
Absolutely. If you just joined us, I'm interviewing ex-Jehovah's Witness Tom McGovern. If you want to contact Tom with any questions or are interested in him giving his testimony or maybe teaching on Jehovah's Witnesses at your church, you can call him at area code 973-697-5029. That's 973-697-5029. Tom, for Christians, our source of spiritual authority is the Word of God, the Bible. What is the source of authority for a Jehovah's Witness? Is it also the Bible?
Well, they say it is, and I think that most of them probably actually believe it is. But if you really follow the line of reasoning through, what you find is that their ultimate source of authority is what the organization tells them that the Bible says. If you show them a scripture about a certain topic and they don't know what that scripture means, they will actually go back and look it up in the Watchtower publications. They're taught that the organization, the leadership of the organization, is the faithful and discreet slave or faithful and wise servant that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 24, that group is a class and that they've been placed by Christ over all of his earthly interests, including the organization and them as members. And really, within that organization, they have to accept that authority or they'll risk being disfellowshipped for apostasy.
Wow. I don't think Christians really understand. Maybe you can help them and maybe me to understand. How does becoming a Jehovah's Witness affect your life as far as just your normal relations with your family and your friends?
It does make it difficult. For one thing, you have a very busy schedule as a Jehovah's Witness. You have 5 hours of meetings a week. You're expected to prepare for those meetings. You're expected to spend time in what they call the field ministry, which is the work that most of us are familiar with, of having them knock on our doors and make return calls and so forth. And just because of the busy schedule, you don't have the time that you might have had to associate with your family and friends. But also, they've taken away holidays, birthdays. They avoid celebrating any of those things. They claim that they have either pagan origins or nationalistic origins, and for various reasons, they have eliminated every holiday that people would normally get together with their families. So that kind of creates, for most of us, that's one of the big opportunities to get together with our family.
Absolutely.
Is on holidays.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, there's really a mentality in the organization that association with worldly persons, worldly meaning anybody who's not a Jehovah's Witness, isn't a good thing. So even to the extent of your relatives, not that you'd shun your relatives completely if they're not Jehovah's Witnesses, but you certainly don't have that kind of close association that most of us like to have with our families.
Right, right. What is the typical week like for a Jehovah's Witness in terms of their religious activity? Maybe you can describe your experience even.
Yeah, like I mentioned, constant meetings. We had meetings on Tuesday nights for 1 hour, Thursday nights for 2 hours, Sunday morning for 2 hours. You were expected to spend time preparing for all those meetings so that you were familiar with the material that was going to be discussed and would have a chance to perhaps comment when questions were asked. On top of that, there's a field service that's expected. Every witness is expected to spend time going from house to house and doing the follow-up work that goes with that. And they like you to have a family study, too. If you're a family head, a father, you're supposed to be conducting a weekly study with your family. as part of the program. So all of this, you know, plus the pressure of perhaps working a full-time job and doing all the other things that we have to do, really make it kind of a frantic pace and a spiritual pressure cooker. You'll hear Jehovah's Witnesses a lot talk about how much pressure they're getting from Satan's world because of the difficulties of living today, but really their lives are under a great deal of pressure, and most of it's coming from the organization.
Hmm. What are the meetings like at the Kingdom Hall? Now, Jehovah's Witnesses don't go to church, they go to Kingdom Hall. So how are they conducted? Are they anything like the church service that a normal Christian would experience?
Not a whole lot. Their meetings they consider to be for Bible education, as they call it, rather than a worship service, as Christians normally would think of it. In fact, the meetings are programmed from Watchtower literature. They're not really a Bible education at all, particularly. They don't study the Bible directly, as we would think of it, but they have programmed question and answer meetings from Watchtower literature. The Bible is used like a dictionary. They look up proof texts in it, and everybody follows along. And the meetings are very repetitive. They'll read a paragraph, you'll answer a question directly worded from the paragraph, and then they'll move on to the next one. So it's kind of the same thing over and over. Besides that, the same exact material is frequently studied repeatedly. They have a book on Revelation that they've studied four times in their Tuesday night meeting, just gone through the exact same book over and over. And as I understand it, they're now doing their book on Daniel's prophecy for the second time, and that'll probably be done again in the future. It's interesting that when meetings are in that question and answer format, which a lot of their meetings are, people are expected to answer in their own words, but not particularly in their own thoughts. What they really want you to do is reword what's in the paragraph and not express any outside ideas that aren't there. There's no free open discussion such as we might think of having in a Bible study where everybody expresses an opinion, and there's certainly no dissension.
Right. What did Jehovah's Witnesses think of Christians of other denominations? You know, the growing movement to be very ecumenical today. Are the Jehovah's Witnesses ecumenical at all?
Not at all, no. All other religions are part of Babylon the Great, which is they consider the world empire a false religion. They believe that they are God's only true organization. Everyone outside that organization is serving Satan, and if we pray, this prayer is going to Satan. Really, to a Jehovah's Witness, the only difference between a Baptist and a Satanist is the terminology.
Okay. Well, that's all we have time for today. Tom, do you want to come back next week for another part?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Okay. Today is part two of From JWs to Jesus. I have an ex-Jehovah's Witness, Tom McGovern, here in the studio with me today. He was a Jehovah's Witness for 30 years, and he's back again to help us to understand Jehovah's Witnesses and the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Tom is from New Jersey and is currently teaching Christians about the dangers of Jehovah's Witnesses through Dispel the Darkness Ministries. He's currently working on Bible studies to educate believers to defend the Christian faith. Welcome back to the show, Tom.
Thanks, Fran. It's good to be here.
Tom, last week we talked about how you became a Jehovah's Witness as a teenager, how you were spiritually open but misled into a cult. We talked about the stress a Jehovah's Witness has on him and about the different gospel he presents at the door. We didn't talk much about Jesus, so what do Jehovah's Witnesses teach about Jesus?
Well, they have a whole different teaching about Jesus than what we believe as Christians. They believe that he was the first being created by Jehovah God, and that he then became a master worker alongside God in creating everything else, the heavens and the earth and all of the angels and so on. They believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, the highest of God's created order. And they certainly believe that he is not God Almighty.
Okay. I heard you say in your testimony, by the way, Tom's testimony is on my site at tower2truth.net in the audio section. I heard you say in that Jehovah's Witnesses view Jesus' death as a legal transaction. Can you explain that?
Yeah, they believe that Jesus, as a perfect man and only a perfect man, gave his life as a balancing ransom for Adam's sin. And because of that, it eliminates the effect of Adam's sin in our lives, or inherited sin in our lives, and that gives us the opportunity to be able to qualify for eternal life through our works. They really teach that any perfect angel could have provided that sacrifice had he come to earth and become a human being. It didn't have to be Jesus particularly, but as the highest of Jesus of Jehovah's created beings, Jesus showed his love by doing that. Jehovah's Witnesses would not deny that Jesus died for our sins, as you know, you and I say, well, Jesus died for my sins personally. They wouldn't deny that, but you would almost never hear them express it that way.
Wow. You said last week that the Watchtower Society claims to speak for God. Can this be easily disproved?
Yeah, I think it can, and there are a lot of ways you could do it, but probably, you know, for purposes of the time we have on this show, if you consider Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 through 22, it talks about a prophet who would speak in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jehovah, and who would predict things. It says, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. And really, if we look at the history of the Watchtower Society, we find that they have over and over again predicted events that would not occur. They predicted that Armageddon would come in 1914, 1918, 1925. They said it was coming within a few months in 1941. They said that it was coming in 1975. They said that it would be here within the 20th century. And they said that it would come within the lifetimes of those who saw 1914's events. Some of those predictions were actually presented as the Creator's promise and Jehovah's prophetic word, God's dates, not ours. Well, if you're attributing predictions like that to God and they don't come to pass, it becomes pretty obvious that you're not speaking for God.
That's a lot of predictions.
That is a lot of predictions.
Well, after all these false prophecies, you know, you would think that many Jehovah's Witnesses get disillusioned and quit. So how does the Watchtower keep members loyal to the group after all this?
Well, they do have a deep degree of devotion, and part of the reason for that is that independent thinking is specifically discouraged. If you look in Watchtower publications, you will find encouragement not to think independently from the organization, so they've got their minds into this same mindset. Also, there's a lot of peer pressure. If you say anything that's even vaguely contrary to the organization, you're likely to get into trouble. They're too busy to really take the time to think. As I talked about last week, they've got this busy schedule. And at the end of all of it, if you do come up with some doubts, there's always the threat of being disfellowshipped for apostasy.
Disfellowship, wow, that's a big word. What is disfellowshipping, and what sort of things can a Jehovah's Witness be disfellowshipped for? And maybe how are they treated after they're disfellowshipped?
Well, disfellowshipping is excommunication, in effect. It's being put out of the organization. And if you ask a Jehovah's Witness about being disfellowshipped, they'll kind of make it sound like it's something they do to very immoral people. You can be disfellowshipped for things like adultery and murder and stealing and things like that. And that's true, you can, but there are a lot of other things you can be disfellowshipped for, too, that are really not so clear in the Bible. You can be disfellowshipped for smoking. You can be disfellowshipped for voting in an election. You can be disfellowshipped for taking a blood transfusion or celebrating Christmas or the 4th of July. I have a handout that I use sometimes in my ministry called Stuff You Shouldn't Do If You're a Jehovah's Witness. It's 2 pages in small print, and I'd be happy to provide that if any listener wants it. You can also be disfellowshipped for disagreeing with the Watchtower on any doctrinal matter, and that's called apostasy, and that's, you know, it really makes it difficult for them to deviate from doctrine in any way. Disfellowship people are supposed to be shunned absolutely. You're supposed to have nothing to do with them. In fact, even your relatives, your father, daughter, son, brother, sister, you're not supposed to have anything to do with unless they live in the same home with you, and even then you have to cut them off in all religious matters. You can't discuss spiritual things with them. Now, you have to keep in mind that witnesses are encouraged in their normal lives to cut off their worldly associations and to wrap their lives up in the organization as much as possible. So all of their friends, their marriage mates, their family members that they've, you know, have come along in during their lives are pretty much all witnesses. Many of them work for other witnesses or rent apartments from other witnesses. If you're disfellowshipped, you lose everything. You lose your whole life in one shot.
Scary indeed.
Yes, it is.
If you just joined us, I'm interviewing Tom McGovern. Tom is an ex-Jehovah's Witness. And if you want to contact Tom with any questions on Jehovah's Witnesses, or if you would like for him to give his testimony or teach at your church, you can give him a call at area code 973-697-5029. That's 973-697-5029. How do you leave the Watchtower once you join? Is there a graceful way out?
No, there is certainly not a graceful way out. As a matter of fact, everything that I just said about disfellowshipping a minute ago applies to a person who just voluntarily chooses to leave the organization as well. they too are cut off from all of their family, friends, and other contacts. In fact, very recently it's come up that they now have a new announcement. They used to announce that a person was disfellowshipped or disassociated, which was what they called it if you left voluntarily. Now they simply announce that you are no longer one of Jehovah's Witnesses, and then the person is expected to be shunned, and there is some speculation that maybe they're going to use that to try to get people who have simply become inactive and stopped going to meetings and involving themselves in the field ministry.
Okay. How does a Jehovah's Witness get saved according to their own Watchtower teachings? And do Jehovah's Witnesses have an assurance of their salvation?
Well, they acknowledge that salvation is a gift from God, but then they say that there are requirements that you have to meet in order to qualify for the gift. Now, in my mind, it's not a gift anymore if there's right. something you have to do to get it. God requires both faith and obedience, they say. Obedience includes submission to all of their organizational requirements, including the door-to-door work. And you'll hear them quote Philippians 2:12 a lot, but they'll stop short of reading verse 13. Verse 12 says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And they'll throw that phrase at you, work out your salvation, and then they stop. But in verse 13, it continues. It says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Working out our salvation is not the same thing as working for our salvation. If I work out a problem or I work out a debt, I'm not trying to get a problem or a debt. It's something I already have, and I'm fulfilling the obligations of it. And that's what God's telling us to do when we work out our salvation. It's a salvation that he's already given us. And he's asking us to fulfill the obligations. And no, Jehovah's Witnesses have no assurance of salvation. They believe you can lose your salvation through serious sin or just drifting away from the organization. You can lose your salvation. And if you go too far, you might even sin against the Holy Spirit and be beyond the point where you could ever come back.
Hmm. Personally, what are some things that raised red flags in your mind that made you begin to doubt that the Jehovah's Witnesses were what they really claimed to be?
Well, I think the first thing that got me thinking was the fact that I saw people being treated rather harshly within the organization. I mean, I was kind of love-bombed when I was coming in. You're the new guy. Everybody pays a lot of attention to you, and they treat you with a great deal of favor and want to be your friends. But after you've been in for a while, and especially if you're not performing to the extent that they'd like, the organization becomes kind of cold. And at times, the elders deal very, very harshly with people, not in a pleasant way at all. Then what happened after I had observed some of that was that a couple that I was studying with to try to bring into the organization went to hear some ex-Jehovah's Witnesses speak at a church in our area, and now I had this long list of questions for them to answer about doctrines and practices and things and why the Bible didn't teach what the Watchtower taught. So I started researching, and in the process of doing that, I found out about their history of false prophecies and a lot of other things in their history that caused me a lot of disturbance and made it very evident that this could not be an organization that was from God. Eventually, I got more deeply into the Word, and I found out that their doctrines are also wrong.
Amen. How about some advice for the average Christian who gets a knock on their door someday? You know, what's the best thing for them to do in dialoguing with a Jehovah's Witness?
Well, that's probably the most frequent question people ask me. And I know that we'd like to have a magic bullet that you could just use at the door and have the Jehovah's Witness drop to his knees right there and accept the Lord. Unfortunately, there is no magic bullet like that. I think unless you've really studied Jehovah's Witnesses and are prepared to deal with them in depth, the best thing to do is probably just give your testimony. Tell them what the Lord has done in your life and talk about the assurance of salvation that you have, because they know that they don't have that. If you want to go deeper, then you need to do some studying. You need to read up on the organization's history of false prophecies and the other scandals that they've had, and ask the Jehovah's Witness to explain how can an organization like that possibly speak for God the way that it claims to. The other thing is, don't let them change the subject without answering your questions, because they get very uncomfortable when you start to attack the organization, or they perceive that you're attacking the organization, and they'll try to get to a doctrinal topic. I've been speaking with witnesses about the organization and just had them right in the middle of it say, "Hey, you don't believe in the Trinity, do you?" Well, that's got nothing to do with what we were talking about. I would say avoid doctrine if you can, because his source of authority is not the same as yours. You know, his source of authority is the organization, yours is the Bible. And he'll just go back to see what the Watchtower says about what those scriptures really mean.
Good advice, Very quickly, Where has God been leading you in terms of helping others with your experience and the information you have?
Well, what I've been trying to do is train other Christians through speaking at churches and development of Bible study materials on dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses, and I've tried to work toward building a ministry in that area.
Okay, to contact Tom again, it's area code 973-697-5029. And if you're interested in obtaining a free copy of this interview called From JWs to Jesus, you can have a free CD if you contact me by email or phone. My email is help@tower2truth.net. My phone number is 610-513-5525. That's 513-5525. Don't forget to visit us on the web at tower2truth.net. And don't miss us again next week when we begin the series entitled Understanding Seventh-day Adventism. It's going to be a hot one as we discuss Sabbath keeping, investigative judgment, and Ellen G. White. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.